It seems that today Mr. and Mrs. are on their way to a soda fountain to refresh themselves. And as they step out, Mrs. says, "I think I'll have a chocolate soda." And Mr., her husband, says, "Oh, why do you take that sweet stuff? It'll only upset you." He says, "Why not try a good thirst quencher like lime and lemon?" She says, "Well, yes, I guess it would be better for me." And he says, "I should say so." So they step right up to the fountain and he orders. And he orders something like this: 1 lime and lemon and 1 raspberry sundae with marshmallow whip. That's what we actors call the old switch. Well, here's little Orphan Annie. You know, Orphan Annie's on trial, and here it is the 4th of July, and she's in jail, and here's her lawyer with the ever-present dog Sandy in the middle. Annie is saying Independence Day, Bill of Rights. Any person is presumed innocent in the USA until proved guilty. That's what they say. They say that. The lawyer says, "That's quite right, Annie." Annie says, "Yeah. Well, how the Sam Hill can I keep from being proved guilty if I'm not allowed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" The lawyer says, "Well, one must conform to the legal rules, forms, and technicalities." And Annie says, "Hey, has the other side got all those things? How about us getting some, too, that we can use?" And that's Annie. Now, we're going over to Joe Palooka, written by Ham Fisher, an old friend of mine from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. This is the 4th of July, of course, with Joe Palooka, but we're going to go to a war plant where Nobby Walsh, Joe's old manager, is addressing a crowd of workers who are evidently on their lunch hour. He's up on a platform with the executives, and he's saying, "You guys here at the plant have asked me to say a few words. Well, all I can say is we still need the same cooperation to the war effort. And as you gave before, give now. A good many millions of fine guys have died since the first July 4th to build democracy, the grandest form of government the world ever knew. It sure makes you proud to know you're American. And don't forget this. We licked the Nazi bums who preached race hatred, and we're licking them Jap savages, too. Let's keep the American creed: life, liberty, and equal rights for all. Thanks, folks. And now let's all get back to work." And at that, the crowd fades away to go back on their very, very important war jobs. And here we are with Terry and the Pirates. Here's Hotshot, April Drake, and Terry on this island where a plane has dropped for them a walkie-talkie. Hotshot is saying, "Look, children, our little Navy playmates didn't forget a thing. A free handy talkie with a code. Where do we mail the top off the Jap battleship?" Terry says, "Say, this is a special cipher they've dreamed up to test our American background, Hotshot." Hotshot says, "What? Say, it's so simple it might work. The first 13 letters in the alphabet are paired with the names of the 13 original states listed alphabetically." Terry says, "Yeah, the last 13 letters are paired with the names of the present-day capitals of the 13 original states. The cities follow the order of their state names. This is important. The important thing that we must supply the missing state and the city's names. And down below that, there is a chart. And against the letter A is Connecticut. Against the letter B is Delaware. Against the letter N is Hartford. And against the letter O is Dover. Hartford being the capital of Connecticut, of course, and Dover being the capital of Delaware. And in the last picture, Terry is saying, all this security isn't just to pick up survivors. They want guarded info from us because they're going to occupy this island." Hotshot says, "Roscoe Bosco." April says, "I reckon I might just as well have stayed in that woman's concentration camp." And that's the end of the strip for today. And here's the old boy himself, Dick Tracy. Here's Breathless. Well, you know, Breathless has been caught with an arm full of dough in a laundry wagon. And she's saying to this laundry wagon driver, Wet Wash, "I said I'd give you $500 and not 1 cent more." Wet Wash says, "Why, sister, that pillowcase is bulging with $1,000 bills. I want half." She says, "It's 500 or nothing." He says, "Okay, babe, have it your way." And then the next picture is at the Van Usen house, where Dick Tracy is listening to the butler who says, "You see, sir, at the time, I was in the basement helping load the laundry truck. Tracy says, laundry truck? What laundry truck? Then we go back to the laundry truck, and Wet Wash is driving breathless away, and he's saying, it's a 10-minute drive to the nearest police station, and I'm going to start driving. Think fast, baby. You've got 10 minutes to change your mind. And she says, I won't give you more than 500. And that's where we leave them. And here's the old boy himself, little Abner, in the wrestling bout. He's just thrown this guy, Gentleman Jake, out of the ring, been pronounced the winner, and after the bout, Gentleman Jake comes over to Abner and says, you done won the world's wrestling championship of dog patch, but I is glad to have been beat by such a fine sport as you is, little Abner. Shake, and he sticks his hand out. And, of course, you know that little Abner says, no, no, nothing doing. And on the way out, Gentleman Jake's seconds are saying, the ungentlemanly skunk. He refused to shake Gentleman Jake's hand after beating him. Another second says, that insult broke Gentleman Jake's heart. Only an unsporting rat wouldn't insult a man after he's licked him. And Abner's leaving with two tears trickling down his cheeks, saying, I promise Mammy not to shake nobody's hand, no how, no where. And here we are with Mickey Finn, Lank Leonard's Mickey Finn. Here's Mickey saying to Mr. Mintmore, Uncle Phil respects you, Mr. Mintmore. You might be able to make him listen to reason. Mintmore saying, I'm not so sure, Mickey, but it might be worth a try. Where's your phone? I'll have to call my local office. So he goes to the phone, calls the office, and he says, this is Mortimer Mintmore. I want you to cancel my reservation on that Chicago plane. I'm not leaving tonight. And his office says to him, but Mr. Mintmore, if you are not at that Chicago meeting tomorrow, the directors may vote against you. It may mean a loss amounting to... And then Mintmore breaks in and says, I know what it may mean, Burns. Cancel the reservation. And old Mickey says to Mr. Mintmore, gosh, Mr. Mintmore, we don't want to change your plans just to... And Mr. Mintmore breaks in and says, forget it, Mickey. If I can help Phil, I want to do it. Attaboy, Mintmore. Now, about Joe Palooka. Joe Palooka, we're going to give you tomorrow's Joe Palooka. We're going to steal a march. You know, we're back now on the island, and Jerry is watching for Joe, who is he's overboard and swimming around to the point so he can hear what this Nazi in the planter says. Jerry's looking out where he has gone over, and he says, holy smokes, the place is crawling with sharks. If one ever got him, I'll never forgive myself for letting him go. But Joe is listening to these two bums on this island here, and they're saying when the submarine arrives, we throw a searchlight on the buoy and signal that it marks the spot to lay to. And Joe is swimming back, saying to himself, wish they hadn't walked away and I could have heard the rest. So he's coming by submarine. He'll probably have his face made over, and they'll pass him off as a Dutch planter, too. Well, that is Palooka. Now, there are 9 comics that we've been supplied with this afternoon. As I told you before, we're awfully glad to be here. I think that'll about wash it up, I guess. I've got to get back to the Alvin Theater to act again in that swell show, Hollywood Pinafore, with your old friends Bill Gaxton and Victor Moore. And if the mayor will allow me, I would tell you it's a great show for kids, clean and decent and funny. And you needn't be afraid to bring your pops and moms to see it. I also want to thank Joe Laurie Jr. for his nice words about me last night, and to tell you that tomorrow night at this mic reading the funnies will be my old friend, the justly famous Senator Ford of Can You Top This? Hiya, Senator. I close now thanking the mayor and station WNYC for this warm human experience. And I would like to express in my own way that fervent desire of the old poet and say, time has turned backward just once in its flight and has made me a kid again, just for tonight. So long.